Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. With us on the line today is Natalie, that's myself, and Alex, so we have half of the betas. And today we're going to talk about whether or not you can trust a man to take birth control, choosing the right type of preschool, and airlines getting rid of pre-boarding for families, which I think is total crap, but we will discuss it. So Alex, hello, thank you for joining me today. How are you doing?
Hello, great, glad to be here.
Me too. So it's just the two of us. The other girls are otherwise indisposed. But I'm glad we have some fun things to talk about today. One of which is this story that United, and there are other airlines as well, that are getting rid of early boarding for passengers with children, as well as getting rid of the ability to guarantee yourself a seat next to your child, which is crazy town.
Now, you That's ridiculous.
I mean, so they say they're doing this because they want to cater more to their business customers because they're the ones that really take more frequent trips. Although if I were a business customer and someone just couldn't afford to pay the extra money to sit near their kids and I got stuck with some random three-year-old, that's not really catering to, and that's good for nobody. That situation is good for nobody.
Yeah, I don't see how that's possible. I don't think you can, I wouldn't leave my three-year-old just sitting next to a stranger. I would end up off of the flight. And to be honest, I think people would be willing to switch, but there's
more
no
than willing.
What if you're in the middle seat? What if you're in the middle seat and, you know, the person in your daughter or son has the window seat or the middle seat, and so you have to switch? This person might just not want to sit in your middle seat. They want to sit in their, say, aisle seat. I don't know. I don't see how it's going to work. And I've decided when I have the option, or I'd be willing to pay more for a different flight than Fly United. I'm kind of pissed off at them.
Yeah, me too. And apparently American, I think, is doing this as well. But my husband Clayton was pointing out that the beauty of this is no parent will do this. Every parent will opt for the extra $35 because you want to sit near your kid. And so they're going to just make that extra money no matter what.
Is it really an extra $35? I thought it was an extra $9.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me see. Just double checking.
Let's see.
Priority boarding programs begin at $9. So family of four. Okay, so they were saying a family of four.
Okay, that's where I got that number.
Per person.
Right. So that's pre-boarding, but that's not the – what about the guarantee? Let's see. The guarantee to sit near your kids I thought was an extra $35, but I can double-check that.
That's just ridiculous.
It's crazy town. Now, Jennifer rang in and said she usually doesn't pre-board with Elle. And I've heard other travel experts say don't pre-board because then you can just, run your child ragged in the airport and then get on at the last minute because you don't want them sitting there for longer than you have to. But, you know, when they're really little, you want to get on, you want to get all your gear in place. So it's such a nice thing to have for families and, families take longer. So I feel like if they're not going to let families pre-board, they shouldn't. I don't think they should let elderly people pre-board then. That's one and the same thing. It's only fair, right?
I agree. Yeah. I didn't think of it that way.
We have the same disadvantage. So, and it's like that argument recently about, you know, whether or not little kids should be allowed to fly or that there should be a no kids section. And I said, well, you have to make the same exception then for elderly people. We have the same needs. We just need a little more time and a little more space.
Yeah, I think it's crap. Yeah, we always board early and we enjoy it. And I guess it depends on your kid, but we like to get settled. We like to start entertaining, getting her Reese comfortable with being on the plane.
Right. And I guess it really, you know, it depends on the type of flight you're taking, whether or not it's a red eye, kind of thing, or how long the flight's going to be. But I just don't understand. I know that the airlines are probably, they're just like, screw it. We're not a customer service industry. They now charge us for food, which they didn't used to. They charge us for bags, didn't used to. And now they're charging us for flying with our kids. Like, what else? It's just the worst.
I feel like it's a form of discrimination. It really is.
I think so, too. Especially if they don't equally discriminate against elderly people. I know I seem like I'm anti-elderly person. I'm not. But I'm just saying.
You may know this or may not know this. What about, do they charge extra for people who are overweight?
Usually,
Is that true or not true?
I think that's at the discretion of the either the person at the gate. I think they have the right to. They don't always. Yeah.
Got it. Got this. So they're charging for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, can you imagine a bus doing this? Like a bus service? It's just public transportation, you know? Trains, yes. They don't do this. But for some reason, there's something about flying that makes people total a-holes, including the company.
Well, because you're stuck. You're in some confined area for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah.
You know, you could have a kid screaming next to you. You could have – it's true. Before I had kids, I would cringe at somebody coming in, walking down the aisle with a child. Please don't let them sit next to me. Please don't, because I wanted to sleep.
Yeah.
And kids are known for crying. And my perspective has changed now that I have one. I see parents coming down the aisle and I sympathize. And if I see a mom with two kids and there's nobody helping her, I'm the first one to jump up to help or ask her if she needs help.
Yeah, and I usually sit down next to whoever and I say, he's a really good baby, he's a good flyer, or I'll qualify somehow. And like, what if he's not? Because not all adults are good flyers, so how come my kid doesn't have the right, just because he's small, he doesn't have the right to not be okay with, flying? So I once sat next to this 20-something-year-old who I think was on something because he took off his shoes and scratched his feet the entire cross-country flight. It was disgusting. So,
and did his feet smell?
I don't know. I think I was pregnant at the time, too. And I was can you not do that? The adults are crap flyers, too.
No, I agree. I don't even remember what I was flying. It was a really long flight. It was like 8 hours. And this gal behind me took off her shoes and it smelled the whole way. I had to notify I called the flight attendant and she came over and she's like, yeah, this is what I have to deal with every day. I was like, I'm so sorry. So she brought over a bag of coffee beans and put it under my seat. I mean, it was that bad.
That is terrible. Oh my goodness.
But this person had the right to take off their shoes. Jeez.
Yikes.
I think I'd rather listen to a kid screaming than smelly feet.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Anyways, yeah. So I think it's JetBlue, Virgin America, and Delta Air. They still have family boarding for free. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we vote with our dollars, right? And so if we can try not to use those airlines, then let's do it. Mommy boycott, rather. All right. Well, let's talk about something that you wrote up on the blog on mommybeta.com recently about different types of preschool, because this is something that I've just sort of barely started to graze the surface, because my son is in a daycare that's called early childhood development type of daycare, and they filter them straight through to preschool. And I really am happy with the school he's in. So I didn't research the various types of schools, but you really have done your homework here. Why did you start this research, or how did you even start it? You have like a Google Doc something?
No, I started just Googling preschools, and then I started reading about philosophies, and I was shocked. I didn't know how many different philosophies and approaches there were to preschools, because on one hand, I'm like, isn't it just preschool? Can I just send her to a good preschool that seems okay? But apparently not. There's Montessori, Waldorf, Reggio Emilia, co-ops and play-based. Those were the five that I looked into and I thought were the most popular and I wanted to learn more about.
Okay, so why don't we just go through them, because I think that that would be helpful for anyone who's in this situation. And, maybe our audience can ring in and tell us why they decided on which one. So first off, Montessori, which seems to be really popular in my area. And I know in a previous podcast, you talked about how it really emphasized, self-motivation.
Yes.
But what else did you learn?
So it really fosters personal responsibility. It encourages children to take care of their own personal needs and belongings. So they learn to prep their own snacks. They learn to clean up after themselves, which sounds funny, but a lot of kids don't. And it ranges in different ages. So they're learning from each other. And so it's more independent play and more independent learning.
Okay. And then I have so many questions about Montessori, but I guess that's not... I guess I should do my own homework, but that's a good overall view of that kind of thing.
When I was doing the research is this is really good for students to learn at their own speed, who are more independent, and typically considered a great choice for special needs or gifted children.
Okay.
And I once read that a lot of CEOs, founders, entrepreneurs ended up going to or started off in Montessori preschool, which is interesting.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, I mean, just following their independence and
yeah, it seems
learning
like
to do things on their own.
Is it more expensive than most, do you think?
Oh, you know, I haven't started looking at prices. That's a good question.
Oh, okay. All right. I think a lot of people might start with pricing because it can get crazy these days. It can be like paying yes. for college education. So
it's kind of ridiculous.
I'm sure that varies, you know, location by location, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, I first wanted just to understand what was out there before I can, and pricing will definitely come into the decision-making process.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Tell us about Waldorf.
So Waldorf is more about dependable routine. So they have the same daily schedule, same weekly schedule. And what I found interesting is that teachers often remain with the same group of students for up to 8 years. That seems kind of crazy to me because I think it's all about building relationships with or building new relationships and learning how to build relationships with different types of teachers, different types of people. So I thought that was interesting. And apparently the atmosphere is more home-like mm-hmm. With all natural furnishings and playthings, and it's more of a group-oriented curriculum.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And this is, according to Scholastic.com, which I found, you know, was a great resource, this is really any child will flourish in this, which is nice to know.
Right.
It's children, you know, they thrive on repetition.
Yeah. You're right. But you're right.
Get bored.
It does. Yeah. It does present the challenge of not challenging them with new things, right? They know where they're going every day, and which can be very comforting. But, you know, there are a lot of studies that show that children who can adapt well to change are really
better. And that's what life's about. It's not about, you know, routine. It's, yeah. Life's going to throw different things at them, and I want them to learn how to handle. And again, it's preschool, so, you know, a year or two in preschool, is it really going to matter?
Right. Okay. And now Reggio Emilia, it seems like, is a curriculum-free type place, right?
I wouldn't say curriculum-free. So what they do is the teachers observe what the students are interested in. So, for example, if the students come in and somebody has a dinosaur, for example, and all the students are around this dinosaur looking at it, they'll learn about dinosaurs that day.
Uh-huh.
Or somebody went to the beach over the weekend and brought in some shells. The students might be interested in shells, so they learn about the beach. They'll read books about the ocean and talk about crabs. So I thought that's kind of cool. So it's really child or children guided.
Right. Okay. I didn't mean curriculum. I meant like lesson plan free, I guess. They just kind of go with Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Now, co-op is something that Natalie participates in. And why don't you tell us what you learned about that?
So Natalie, I would love for her to chime in our podcast notes. So co-ops are really where parents are involved with the teaching and supervision. And these preschools really can draw on a number of philosophies. So there really isn't just one set philosophy. But its distinguishing characteristic is that parents, they take on a significant role in participating, and they fulfill a lot of the duties versus just having a teacher.
Right. Okay. And so you get to, you know, a friend of mine says, you know, you really observe so much about how they learn and how they interact with other kids. And it's great to really be a part of that process, is what parents that I know who participate in this.
Absolutely. And I know in a lot of cases, I think they do hire a professional teacher.
Right.
But the parents are, you know, assisting in the classroom. So it's very, very hands-on. And a big plus for this, I do know, is that because you're so involved, it's a lot less expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. And then the last one, you talked about play-based.
Yeah. So this tends to be the most popular. The philosophy behind these types of preschools is that children learn best through play-based activities. And that's, you know, similar for adults. A lot of us learn better by hands-on experiences. So when we're in high school and you're in the lab, or in college and you're in the labs, you just learn better through actual activities.
Okay.
And the teachers help to facilitate the learning through play and interaction with other children. So it's a lot, you know, a lot of social skills too.
Now, did you find any surveys where you can ask, answer questions and it will say this one seems to be best suited for your type of child? Or I wonder if there's anything like that online.
I haven't. I'm sure there are, but if you go to scholastic.com and there's a slideshow and I linked to it, it gives kind of a few sentences about each of these different philosophies. And at the bottom, it says who it's for. And right. So it kind of, you know, if your child's like this. So it's not a survey, but it'll just give you a little glimpse. You know, the reality is I think a lot of these could work for a number of children. It's just, you know, do your research and figure out where your child's going to thrive the most in.
Right. It seems like such a, I don't know, I go back and forth between taking it super seriously and then being like, well, it's just preschool, you know.
I know. That's where I'm at. I think I just went to the local preschool around the corner.
Well, right. I mean, our parents chose based on proximity and price. They didn't have necessarily a learning philosophy, but there is a lot to be said for, you know, having things that you want out of your child's education. For instance, you know, in my son's daycare, it's really important to me to know what their curriculum is, because I know that they learn the best when you can discuss what they learned at the end of the day with them at home. So we get lesson plans at the beginning of the week, and they tell us what they're working on in terms of like science and cooking and social studies and creative and movement and math. And so I know what the curriculum is and I read it over. And then that night I'll be like, so you learned about butterflies today. Do you want to tell me about that? And so I think, you know, the more we can expect as parents, the better their education's going to be. So I really want to train myself to be involved. And I think, you know, the preschool experience is just as much for us as it is for them.
Right. Now, you're talking about, you said your son's in daycare. That sounds more like a preschool to me, learning about all these different, it sounds like, I mean, they have a curriculum, an academic curriculum.
They do. It's called an early childhood development center.
Okay.
They take the babies as early as, you know, the mom goes back to work. So it's daycare up to a certain point, but they progress into the preschool. Like they consider them, they go, I guess, the babies, and then the waddlers, which is what my son is, and then the toddlers, and then preschool. So he's a waddler right now. Next year, he'll be in the fall, he'll be a toddler, and he'll be that for a year, and then he'll be in preschool.
Okay.
And so, you know, but they have certain expectations when you get into, you can't flunk out, because it is, you know, by and large a daycare. But it's a little pricey, and, you know, like I said, I have these expectations that they'll work with him based on what I want him to eat and what he, you know, they've been so great with his potty training, and I get these curriculum, and we can work with him at home, and so he does learn a lot. I mean, he learns some things I don't want him to learn, like the word mine, but... You know, but yeah, I do believe that it's far more that I can offer him at home, especially with the new baby. You know, I don't want,
that's great.
I just didn't want him sitting with me 7 days a week, 24/7. I thought that, you know, and it was really important to my husband that he get more learning through socialization than I can read as many books as I, you know, as I can get my little hands on, but I'm never going to be a professional preschool teacher, and I'm never going to be an entire classroom full of kids that can help him learn through socialization.
Right. So. And I think that's where my thinking is right now is, I mean, we have tons. I'm full time with Reese, and we have tons and tons of play dates. She's around kids. We go to the Academy of Sciences. We go to the Discovery Museum. I mean, we do so many activities, but I'm never going to be able to offer her what others can offer her in a preschool like setting. So she's going to be two. And so I wouldn't be sending her. It's like a pre-preschool program, the ones that I'm looking at right now. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I wrote a blog about this. I'm way late. I'm on a few waiting lists. And there's one school I'm waiting to hear from, which is their philosophy comes from Montessori and play-based, which is actually pretty interesting. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second. And I'm hoping she gets in, but I'm so late because I didn't think we were going to send her to preschool until she was three. Mm-hmm. But she's ready. She's just thriving. And she's like a sponge. She just wants to learn. And I don't think I'm teaching her fast enough.
Yeah. And so, she seems like the kind of child that really loves other children.
She does.
So, yeah. I mean, you want to foster that as much as, like, even I went to pick him up from preschool just before, for a daycare just before this podcast. And, you know, I walk in there and I have a little, like, my heart just kind of gets a little squeezed. Like, I wish he were with me all day. I missed him. And, you know, he's sitting there with other kids. There's also a little girl who is, like, trying to be his girlfriend there.
Oh, I can tell Reese.
I know. She's a little French girl, and she's super cute. But the teacher said, sometimes we have to tell him, Alicia, leave him alone. He needs his space. sometimes he's all about her, and sometimes he's like, take a walk, which is hilarious. A typical man. So, anyhow.
Oh, so I just wanted to share one thing that I thought was interesting. So this one school, it's called Peekadoodle Prep. It's in San Francisco. And it's Peekadoodle, but it's Peekadoodle Prep Preschool. Sounds silly. So it's the year before you go to preschool. But what they've done is they combined Montessori and play-based activities because the two co-founders, one sent their child to Montessori school and the other sent their child to the play-based. And the child who went to Montessori school knew ABCs, knew how to count, knew all of these things that they could do independently, mm-hmm. but didn't have really good socialization skills because they so focus on just being responsible for yourself and nobody else. They just don't focus on the socialization skills. But the play-based child didn't know ABCs very well, couldn't really count, you know, past five. So there were all these academic things that they didn't learn, but had the best social skills. You know, and there's something to say. Some parents say, well, you know, you can easily learn ABCs and easily learn 1, 2, 3s, but social skills are really hard to grasp if you don't learn them early on, which I kind of agree with.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I want
the best of both worlds. So anyways, I thought this was kind of a good combination.
Right. And I guess my knee-jerk reaction to that is, you know, don't you want to be the one teaching social skills by and large? And then, you know, we have professionals to teach, curriculum. But I don't know if I've thought that through. So let me not assert that all the way and think about it a little more. But let's go ahead and move on. Before we do, we have other things to talk about, such as Gazelle.com. They're our show sponsor. I'm going to tell you about them. They are a place where you can go and sell back your used consumer electronics. And this is a place where you take your iPad, your iPhone, you know, the good stuff, but stuff that you maybe not are using quite so much, or something that you want to upgrade, like it's time to get a new iPhone, where the new iPhone's coming out in just a few weeks. So if you're thinking of upgrading, now is the time to send back your old one, get the maximum value for it. And then when the new one comes out, it's a wash. You're not paying very much at all to upgrade if you're in between your contracts. So go to gazelle.com, type in the name of the things that you have around your house, and they'll give you an estimate. Everything over $1, they will help you ship for free, so you don't have to ship it to them. It doesn't cost you anything. They'll do it. And then you get a payment in the mail, you get a payment in your PayPal inbox, or you get an Amazon gift card if you choose that option. So it's easy. When you're checking out, make sure you tell them the MommyBeta.com podcast sent you. There's a little option there for a pull-down menu. Choose Mommy Beta. You can also tweet them @Gazelle_com and tell them that @MommyBeta sent you. Thank you so much for your support, Gazelle. Moving on, we had one more news story that we found this week that I thought definitely worth talking about, which is birth control for men. So this has been in the works. Scientists have been working on this for a while now. And I just think it's so funny to think about whether or not men can be trusted to take birth control. And in our show notes, the other Natalie rang in and was like, oh, no, I never thought men could be trusted with this. But they trust us, right?
Yeah, but it's a proven fact that men just aren't that great at remembering little details. I mean, they have trouble with remembering birthdays and anniversaries and multitasking.
Yeah, I know. They can't. I mean, it's not that they can't do it like we do, but we're the ones who...
They're just not very good at it.
Well, we exercise that part of our brains a lot more because it's expected of us, right? And so, I mean, I hate to generalize like that and say, you know, my husband couldn't do all the things that I do, but... He doesn't. It's, you know, the things that I do are the things I do, and the things he does are the things he does. And I'm not, you know, I don't spend 8 hours a week on my lawn, which he does. And I will leave.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. Can you tell what I think of that from my intonation?
Yes.
But, you know, he doesn't take vitamins every night like I do. So it's not that much more work to just pop in a birth control pill when it's time to do that. So I don't know. It'd be so much trust that a man had done that, right? I mean, they're motivated, right? They don't want to have babies when they don't want to have babies, but
yeah, but I feel like women have so much more invested in taking the pill because it's our bodies. If something happens, even though it may be, you know, there's two people responsible for the outcome of what happens if you don't take the birth control pill. It's still your body. So I just feel like we have more invested, and I wouldn't trust somebody else to do it.
Yeah, unless you make them a birth control smoothie every morning and then they make them take it.
But again, you're still responsible. You're making the smoothie.
Right, but you just don't have to deal with what it does to your body. Because I don't love taking birth control, to be honest. Like, I get a little queasy from it, so I have to take it at night so that I sleep off the strongest effects. It's not super fun to do that.
Yeah.
But
it's been so many years that I have been off birth control, but I had to go through so many because there were a couple that made me queasy, and then I gained weight, and I was like, no, no, no. And I forget the last one I took, but it has a very, very low dose of hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that worked.
Well, I'd love to. I don't know. I was talking about this with my mom today because I just had my second baby. I don't really have the ambition to have a third. And she was like, well, why didn't you just get your tubes tied while they were down there? And I'm like, it's not really a while you're down there situation. Like, you have to. It's other steps, right? And, you know, there's the option of having your husband fixed.
Snipped.
Right. Like, I didn't mean fixed like a dog. I mean, you know, fixed.
No,
like,
or snipped. Yeah, that's just as
same
bad.
Same thing, right. And so, you know, you kind of both have to take ownership of the contraception in a relationship. And I guess if you were not married or not in a family situation and you were sexually active, you know, recreationally, then that'd be a whole other ball of wax because, you know, to make sure right. that who you were sleeping with had taken their birth control.
Okay, I take this back. You make a very good point. So all of my statements that I made in the past 5 minutes, I'm more thinking about if I wasn't married and I was just, you know, I had boyfriends.
Right.
That's how I was thinking of it. I guess it's a little bit different when I'm thinking about, you know, being married and Josh. I think he would be good at it. But you're right. I'm better at certain things, and so I will take ownership for that.
But wouldn't you think you'd be sneaking in his, you know, toiletry drawer every night and making sure that day's pill was gone? I would.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you didn't brush your teeth.
Or
wake
did
up.
You remember?
Yeah. Did you brush your teeth and did you take your birth control? Because this pill is still sitting there.
Like, did you grab your sunglasses? Did you grab your hat?
Right.
Did you have your wallet?
Yeah. Oh, and birth control, come here and let me force feed this to you.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway. Well, before we move on, we're going to end with our little victory of the day. And I guess I'll leave that to you, Alex, unless you object. But before we do that, let's talk about bakemeawish.com. They're our last show sponsor for the day. Bake Me a Wish is a place where you can go online. You go to bakemeawish.com and order yourself a cake. So thus the word bake in the title. They have delicious cakes. We got one for my daughter's birth and it was so good. And we always get the carrot cake. If it ain't broke, right? The carrot cake is so, so delicious. But they have other things there. They have red velvet cakes, any kind of cake, and they guarantee delivery for whatever occasion it is that you're ordering a cake for. So Father's Day's coming up, graduations. If you don't feel like baking your own cake, go to bakemeawish.com and make sure you tell them that the Mommy Beta podcast sent you. You know, you never really need an occasion to celebrate life. So celebrate with a cake. And put some birth control in it if you really want to. Did you ever see that episode of Scrubs where he keeps putting the birth control in her cookies? Because she wants to have a baby and he's not ready yet. So he keeps putting birth control in all her food. She's like, I don't know why we're not getting pregnant. And he's like, he finally fesses up that he's been putting the birth control pill in like her Fig Newtons.
No, I love Scrubs.
That was a great show. All right. Well, we like to celebrate a little victory at the end of every podcast. Do you have one that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, this is a little victory, I guess. So as you know, I've been writing about this. Reese has been hitting and pushing, and it's not great. It makes me feel awful. And she's the sweetest little girl. It's just sometimes she just pushes just to see what happens, mm-hmm. and I don't get it. But she can now say sorry. She looks at the person she's done this to and says sorry and gives them a hug. So we're slowly making progress.
Oh,
slowly.
That's nice. I wonder where she picked that up since she doesn't go to preschool, if she saw it somewhere. Because, I mean,
I've read, and I may be just saying this and to make myself feel better, but I actually have read that it's natural, that some kids just, it's natural for them to push and pinch and just to see reaction.
Right.
It's, I mean, she does, and she does get a reaction, even if it's just like a little poke. Like, you know, when Elle's over or she was over yesterday, she poked Elle, not hard, but it was a poke, and Elle said, ow! And it was sad, but, you know, I think Reese was kind of, she was not proud. She was like, oh, there's a reaction. I'm going to do it again. Like, yeah. no, this is not okay.
You know, I was reading in one of my, I think it was one of my sibling books about how, you know, resources are the only thing that they can control. So when it comes to space or toys, to sort of push someone off of their space or toys is a natural inclination because they can't control what you do or what they eat or what's going on or what the weather is. The only thing they really can control is territory. So it would make sense that she would just sort of, that's how she, when she feels threatened, is she does that.
And that's interesting that you say that because most of the time, I'd say 80% of the time it happens, it's at home when people are in her house. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, those are, you know, touching her toys, her things.
Right.
So yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah, and Miles, like I said, has just started to just grab things and say, mine, which is not something that I'd wanted him to learn, you know, with the new baby coming. But he doesn't really do it to her, which is interesting. Aww. So he doesn't.
He seems like such a sweet brother.
He doesn't mind sharing with her. Yeah, when he feels threatened, he takes it out on, you know, other ways, but not necessarily directed at her, which is nice. But I still don't leave them together in the same room. By themselves. I'm afraid he's just going to be like, oh, Ava, let me, you know, because I have him like, oh, teach Ava where Mickey's eyes are. Teach her where, you know, Mickey's mouth is. And I'm afraid he's going to be like, come on, let's go over here, Ava, and just drag her off the couch or something to teach her something else.
Before we go, I do want to announce the winner of last week's contest. And it is Coley Rainford. Congratulations. You have won one box of 12 assorted fruit and veggie packs from Peter Rabbit Organics. So congrats. We'll send you an email.
Yay for healthy eating. We hope your child enjoys that. Or you, if you're going to eat that. That's fine, too.
Yeah, no.
We Reese don't judge.
No? Well, we try not to.
Reese still eats the squeezy packs.
Oh, my God. She loves them. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I can't get Miles to really eat those anymore. So.
Oh, my. She will. I'm going to take a video. She will inhale in about 30 seconds and she's done. And she says more. I'm like, no more. You just had a whole pack. And, you know, and I actually feel good about giving them to her. You know, I'd rather her have broccoli and carrots. But when we're on the go, if she wants a broccoli and apple, you know, fruit pack or little package, I give it to her and I feel fine.
Yeah, yeah. Those are that's food that you really can feel good about. Sometimes if I buy them and Miles might take a little bit of it and then he's done with it, so I'll just dump it in a smoothie and he doesn't know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so.
It's a good idea.
All right. Well, it was great chatting with you today and we hope that you enjoyed this discussion. Again, ring in on anything that you have to say either about the airlines or daddy birth control or preschools. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us mb@mommybeta.com. You can write on the website anywhere, mommybeta.com, on Facebook and Twitter, all at mommybeta. So thanks so much for joining us. We will see you here next week on the Mommy Beta podcast. See you later, Alex.
Bye-bye.